Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Route, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between food production and food consumption for the last time in April of 2024. Hank Vogler checking in from North Spring Valley, Nevada. How's the blizzard?
Well, we did get a nice little rain, kind of wet the top up. That was great. But I'm more worried about what happened to the folks out in the Grand Prairie. Is there anything left, or is it just all hype on the news?
There have been massive tornadoes all throughout the Great Plains of America. I know that over the weekend, there were a handful of maybe six people died in Oklahoma City. There were 89 sightings of tornadoes in Nebraska on Friday. I had one 6 miles from my house. We're all still here. I don't know. Last I knew, there was still a big chunk of Omaha without electricity. I'm sure they got that fixed by now. But, yeah, it's been and there are parts of Nebraska that have gotten some flurries, some snow, which I said all along, based on the fog days we had massive fog days like I've never witnessed. And the deal is that 90 days after a fog in the Great Plains, you get moisture. Usually it's snow, but it could be rain. I said all along, Hank, that there would be a massive snow in the Great Plains May 1st. Not on the May, wow. not on the day, but, you know, first part of May. We're
Mother Nature's meaner than 8 or 9 of my ex-wives, you know that, yeah. Put together.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of trying to figure out if it was global warming, cooling, climate change, or could it be that the great earthquake in San Francisco was like 1906, not an awful lot of combustion engines. Mount Krakatoa blew up in 1830-something. Just kind of been a few events out there that we can't really blame on the flatulence of a cow. And I don't know how we got to get that fixed. Non-flatulent cows, that'd be the ones. Yes, sir.
Well, you know,
or is there it flatulent there, or is it the burp? Which is the bad one?
The burp.
Okay. Excuse me.
Comes out the front end. But you reckon yes. It was a nice sunny day, like a walk in the park, the day that ditch was created, they call the Grand Canyon?
Well, I have an idea. If you heard a loud roar and looked up, you didn't look up twice because you were no longer in the program.
Yeah. There's no doubt about that. And also that that little volcano that created that crater that they now call Lake Tahoe.
Yes. Or the Bruno Jarbridge Cauldron, when it fell in, it put 6 feet of ash in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure glad I wasn't there.
There is just enough people that have got this figured out, Hank, that they're able to anticipate when Mother Nature has these angry cycles. I mean, it's just like a cycling woman. And she gets in a cycle where she's angry and things happen like this. Now we're due for sunspots. That's going to be the result of climate change too. The only thing is that if you're very good in history, period, you understand things like that earthquake in San Francisco in 1906. You understand the Galveston hurricane that killed 20,000 people in 1900. How can that happen?
Well, and with all of that, What do you think that you can do to regulate that? Now, you think if Pinocchio Joe would have jumped up and said that hurricane had better stop or those tornadoes had better knock it off? Don't. He just said don't. You think it would have had any influence on anything? I it just goes on and on and on. It's almost thinking that they're godlike, that they yeah. know that they can outsmart Mother Nature.
No, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all. It has nothing to do with the environment. It has nothing to do with trying to fix it. It has everything to do with controlling you and I so that we can't continue to raise cows and feed people.
You got it. And that way we get the population controlled.
Yep.
And we have Nirvana, Valhalla. Only who's going to do the Valhalling if we get rid of all of the farmers?
So you're always complaining about the challenge you have in maintaining livestock on federal lands. On Friday's Rural Route, I had Bridget Napier on from Hawaii, and she's fourth generation leasing this 1,000-acre pasture on Oahu, the island of Oahu, and they have told her that they're going to sell it. She has to remove her cows, 500 head, or she can buy it. Would you like to guess what that is appraised at if she wants to acquire it?
$50,000 an acre?
That's exactly right. $55,000 an acre.
Wow. Well, did you ask them if they'd take a check?
Yeah, I think they do.
Oh.
But it's just one more case of where they are forcing people. I mean, the infrastructure of food production is eroding so quickly. And then I read a very in-depth article that it was total BS based around the UK over the weekend. And that article was talking about how food shortages are imminent. And it's not because of bad policy and things that they're doing, like eliminating the reliable source of electricity so that you can actually keep and store your food in a freezer. No. It's because climate change is that severe, and we just have no choice.
So
but until we shut down all the fossil fuels and coal, it's going to get worse.
And sunspots, is that like these brown spots that are on my hands that have been growing there for the last 20 years?
They're nothing like that.
Okay, sunspots, is that going to cause drought? Is that going to cause extra rain? Is that going to cause the radios to all go dead? I mean, what are the consequences of sunspots? I've heard about them all my life as being highs and lows.
So you have a computer. Yes.
Yeah.
Do you have a surge protector?
Yes, I do.
On your computer?
I'd have to ask my grandson, Elon. He's 12.
Surge protectors protect the electric piece of equipment from a electrical surge so that you don't send too much current at one time and fry your computer. A sunspot is similar to that, and that little particles of the sun break off and create this surge of heat, and our electric grid's not going to handle it, they say.
Well, but I've heard about sunspots as having something to do with the weather too. So does it change the weather? Does it cause a severity or a cooling of the earth or a heating of the earth? I've heard about that long before I had a computer.
Did you have a surge protector then? I don't know all the exact details of what the sunspots actually accomplish, but it can't cause global cooling because it's balls of fire coming to Earth from the sun. I mean, aren't sunspots are leaving the sun all the time, and they just don't come towards Earth. It's like we're in the rotation where they're going to come our way.
Oh, but they've come this way long, many times ago, years.
Yeah. There we go. Sunspots are areas where the magnetic field is about 2,500 times stronger than the Earth's magnetic field. Because of the strong magnetic field, the magnetic pressure increases while the surrounding atmosphere pressure decreases. So the reason we have those surges is because the magnetic field, you know, and there's people saying that the pole has shifted, the magnetic field of the pole has shifted ever so much That's why some birds are getting lost. And again, I'm just telling you what I've read. And I mean, this is kind of like above my pay grade. But I do have a guy every Wednesday that talks about it on this very program.
And I'll be darned.
His name would be J.C.
Well,
Cole.
Anyhow.
Oh, my clock says I got an issue. Roll route. Hank Vogel, Trent Luce. We will light up your life with a sunspot right after this. Let's talk about Certified Piedmontese. The Great Plains Cattlemen working together thanks to the Piedmontese breed, the Piedmontese Bulls Sire, the most consistently tender beef you can find on the planet. Every single animal is tested. We know they possess the myostatin gene. That's the magic gene and the best part of the deal. You don't need to go to the store. We deliver the tender beef to your door. Full details at cpbeef.com. Check out the protein plethora today. Welcome back. Roll route, Trent Luce. Did you get all your sunspot trivia figured out?
No, if I remember right, there was something to do with the cycle of the sunspots where could be gauged out and that you could figure out where you were at as far as the crops of drought and everything like that based on the sunspots.
Well, that's why it would be tied to the magnetic field, correct?
Yeah.
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 So, well, back to the
surge protector. I guess you would want to raise it. Yes. Well, I think I could probably live without a computer.
Yeah, I can
did
too.
For a very, very long time. So, anyhow.
You see the feller who's crossing Wyoming headed to, I believe, Boston at the moment. He's been, he's on a draft horse, Suffolk draft horse, not a sire, a shire, Suffolk draft horse. He's got a wagon he's pulling. He's been living out crossing the USA 5 times, I believe, in the last 18 years. I bet he don't have a computer.
No. And probably not.
And he never gets lost. Imagine that.
Well, maybe he knows where the North Star is.
Yeah, that's all it takes. I guarantee you, my three girls, first thing they learned about navigation is where the North Star is. We go riding horses, and every day I'd say, find the North Star.
Yeah. Well, and that wasn't that the deal when they crossed the prairie, that they always pointed the wagon tongue towards the North Star so
absolutely
they wouldn't get lost?
Yep.
Yes.
Because no matter what the weather was in the morning, rain, wind, shine, tornadoes. Hey, how would you like to be on a cattle drive with a tornado hitting you when you're, I mean, that just like, you think it's bad being in a house. Imagine being out there on your prairie.
Oh, man. Cows, especially horned cows flying by, that'd be rough. So I guess it's amazing. They show pictures on the TV and I cannot fathom it. The house is just nothing but the foundation left. The house is gone. And then two houses over, they're not got a scratch on them. So it's just unbelievable what it does. Power, Mother Nature.
Just imagine a circle, a dust devil, circling at 200 miles per hour and the damage it's going to cause and where it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you're anywhere near that vortex, I mean, you don't even have to be in the center of it. It's got to be ripping and tearing.
We had a week ago, this was before all the tornadoes, and we had a tornado alert at 3:30 in the morning, the weekend before. And I don't think this was a tornado, but I had a path through my yard, through the barnyard, where all three hog sheds were flipped over, come up and just completely destroyed. And I believe it was like a little mini microburst because they're like miniature tornadoes and we've had them before. But there was a group of pigs that was in that one shed that just left. And you know, those pigs have just not been the same since. They're just on edge all the time. It's just weird. I think their magnetic field, I think they got a bit of a sunspot.
Well, you ought to see when you get a bear or a wolf
yeah.
or some coyotes and a bunch of sheep. It takes days for them to get over that. A bird flies off of a bush and they jump and run for 100 feet in every direction. Just scares them. You know, it's just animals. that reaction is pretty noticeable. And I'm sure it affects their weight gain. I'm sure it affects a lot of things.
Fertility is the biggest one.
So, yeah. We had a ewe that had five lambs, two of them that had four. That's kind of productive, I guess.
Those are not AI lambs?
Yeah, that's the ones I'm talking about.
Oh, they are AI lambs.
Yes. So, old Martin was on his game, by golly.
Well, what do you do? Raise those with a bottle? She can't really do a good job with more than two, can she?
Oh, no, not really. No, once in a while, usually if you take the biggest, stoutest ones away and graft them on something else and leave her with the smaller ones, if she loves them, she'll take care of them just as well. And the big ones are stout enough that they can kind of wrestle an old girl that's lost her lambs to where she'll kind of put up with them because you lock her head in a stanchion anyhow. So, yeah.
Do you a lamb 3 weeks with your AI or a shorter period?
Oh no, it's like it's over with. The AI is now I bought some. There's a lady in Colorado that brought in fertilized eggs and she's got purebred Dunies also, and I bought some rams from her to do the cleanup. So, anyway, that's what we're into now. The actual ones that were bred artificially are done.
So, what's the spread on that? A week?
We left the rams off we didn't put the rams in for 2 weeks.
No, that's not my question. Do you, I'll start over. Do you implant AI all one day, have them synchronized to them all one day?
No, 2 days.
Two consecutive days?
They lambed about 6 days. Yeah, 2 days.
So the window there is not a week?
About a week, yeah.
I would assume it to be a week.
You'll always get a couple, maybe just lambed just a skosh early. Whatever, usually multiple births too, and then you get kind of just it just hits like hitting a wall. They just quit.
Yeah.
So
well, when we had all of those goats, they would synchronize on heat, and when you had one, well, I know you're synchronizing the lamb the ewes, but still, just through natural synchronization, those goats, when you had one in heat, man, they came like rapid fire, and then they would also kid that way too.
Well, they say that if you can put your rams next to your ewes for a few days, they'll kind of synchronize also.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they're starting to shell them out. They're in about their third day of lambing in the regular bands, and they're putting them out. Oh, one bunch had 25, another one had 31, and so you know tomorrow there'll be that many more.
You said the lady from Colorado, I know we talked about her before. She's around Meeker?
Well, it doesn't sound like it's too far from Rifle.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Same general area.
Yeah.
On the western slope.
Yeah.
I think all the sheep in Colorado... The range sheep in Colorado on the western slope.
Yes. I didn't tell her this, but her dad showed up at the Rafter 7 sale one time over in Yerington, and they were having a poker game, and I was sitting in on it, and he was. And a friend of mine, and I was sitting at the other end of the table, and I had a pair of queens on the in my hand, and a pair of queens on the flop, which I'm pretty sure that's two pair. And they didn't pay any attention to me, and they were throwing chips at each other. One of them had a full house. The other one had three of a kind or whatever, but they didn't know I was just kind of shoving my chips in. I think he's passed on now, but I think he remembered me about that for a very long time, because I kind of broke up the poker game with four queens. They said, okay, roll them over. What do you got? And I said, two pair. And they go, oh, God, what are you even in here for? Queens. Yes, sir.
And a long time ago. So what was his name?
Theos. Nick Theos.
Oh, it was Nick Theos?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I spoke in Meeker once, and Nick was in the audience. That was quite the experience. I wish I could have spent much more time with that guy. He didn't ever wonder where he was thinking anyway. He just told you straight up, a lot like Hank Vogler. We'll be back second half for All Route just ahead. Telling you straight up is what you need when it comes to innovation and equipment as well. Simpson Farm Enterprises with the Apache sprayer technology gets that done on a daily basis. Get more information about, hey, we're now time when people are planting and you're going to be spraying. And when you're spraying, you need it to work. And if it's not working, you need somebody that's going to get you an answer immediately. That's why you turn to Simpson Farm Enterprises. On the web at simpsonfarm.com. simpsonfarm.com, the Apache sprayer with innovation, technology, and service second to none. Best in the field. Welcome back. All Route, Trent Luce alongside Hank Vogler checking in. Didn't you have a White Pine County Commissioner meeting last week?
We did.
Got all problems solved?
We did. No. I didn't want to give them a lecture quite yet. I'm kind of setting a trap for them. But, you know, if this federal land, or as so-called federal land, if the state doesn't have something to do with it, they sure do come to the county commission kind of with their hat in their hand, wanting permission to do stuff. And I, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think it is federal lands. I think it is controlled by the federal government. I think it's still state land, a lot of it. Now, Forest Service is different. Forest Service was done by congressional decree, by Congress. And you're kind of stuck with that, I believe. But Bureau of Land Management, because that's what it is, land management. It doesn't say owned properties. And I think the states have got to start really getting to standing up. And there's just all kinds of little nuances that the state keeps getting asked permission to do stuff by the federal government. Well, it shouldn't be that way if it all belongs to the federal government. But it's sort of like gaslighting the public. If you continually are told about our public lands, well, okay, our public lands, does that go beyond the boundaries of the states? Does the public lands in Rhode Island, are they the same as the public lands in Wyoming? Just all kinds of things like that. It just makes me wonder that the gaslighting that the American people have put up with, that, and I don't know if we can bring it back from the brink. And that may help us a little bit on them making all these national parks and national this, national that. I think that the states have got to stand up, but I don't know why they won't. They should, or they have tried before in the past and got paid off or tamped down or something. I don't know. It's just something's wrong.
So 10 years ago, we were on this path, and I believe Ken Ivory, who was heading up an organization that was championing what you're talking about, the states exercising their true authority on what is currently called federal land. And he's now in the state of Utah. I think he's a representative, is he not? And yet there's nothing, no momentum.
What was his name?
Ken Ivory.
Boy, he might be in the state legislature, but I don't know that he's
is. It doesn't matter what happens at the U.S. Congress. This, we're talking about state initiatives here, right?
Yeah. Well, and Dick Carver kind of took a run at it a few years ago here in Nevada, and that was kind of Wayne Hage's premise. But and the Sagebrush Rebellion. I don't know. There's just something wrong.
Yeah.
That the federal government. Yeah, the federal government owned it at one time, but as the states became part of the nation, or of the equal footing doctrine was supposedly to kick in. Texas would not join the union. And my understanding is there's no federal lands in Texas other than lands that the federal government bought back from Texas. They wouldn't join the union with federal land. So, you know, it's just something wrong. And then further west they went, it was harder. It took more acreage and harder for an individual to homestead or anything like that. They even baited them with grazing homesteads where you could get up to a section. Well, those guys weren't fools. They took 40s right down a creek and controlled the water, and they controlled the range. You know.
Ken Ivory he's in the state of House right now, the Utah State Representative.
Yes. So
I don't understand what killed this momentum. I don't understand why states aren't. Well, I do. I think I do know. I think the reason is, like everything else, the state is reluctant to stand up for states' rights because they're afraid they're going to lose the federal teat. That's what I think is probably going on.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. And look at all the jobs that maybe they don't pay, the federales don't pay taxes in the state, but all the employees that they've got in these small towns, they've run away, especially out here, they've run off all the farmers. There's hardly anybody out here that they raise a little alfalfa. But nothing else. All those farms are gone. They about got rid of all the livestock. So about all they've got in these towns are federal jobs. So, yeah. It's not too hard to convince somebody that all this would go away. Well, the federal government can't give you anything without first taking it away from somebody else, can they?
Nope.
Isn't that what taxes are?
Yep, 100%.
So, it's just a I guess the Civil War is over with, the fighting's over with, but the fear of the merciless shooting of cousins fighting cousins and brothers fighting cousins over states' rights or something. I mean, there's something that the federal government is able to do to scare everybody out.
Well, you've inspired me to call Ken Ivory because I've not talked to him for a long time. I interviewed him several times back when he was working with the guy from Elko County, and they were working on taking back states' rights. And it was about the time that you came over to that Layton, Utah meeting that we had for Range Rights and Resource Symposium.
Was that DeMar Dahl?
DeMar Dahl. Yep.
Yeah. So... I don't know. It's sort of like standing up to the federal government on all of the different programs and the subsidies and everything like that. Well, or if the farmers actually got into a union and refused to raise grain or sell grain, why, they'd call up the banks and say, hey, you call in all those farmers' notes right now. And that'd be the strike breaker right there. Well, you work hard to put something together, and then they put this little stinky cloud over you that you step out of line, you stand up to Southern Nevada Water Authority, and they're going to squash you like a bug.
Well, there's your own answer, because how many years have you been talking about Southern Nevada Water Authority illegally doing business as ranch owner, or not ranch owners, but livestock operators within the state? And who stops them? Who holds them accountable?
Nobody. How about the horses? I know somebody who's feeding 100 head of wild horses, buying the hay for them. And that's illegal. But nobody wants to mess with it because she's doing yeoman's work, saving the poor downtrodden mestingo.
Is that Madeline again?
If you're on the right side of something, you can get away with it.
Is that Madeline again?
No. We got a mini Madeline right here.
Oh, the one just over the hill.
She's using my allotment.
Well, so, you got to be careful on that. You know what's going to happen. They're going to see hay up feet out there, and they're going to say that you did it because it's your allotment, and they'll be persecuting you, prosecuting or persecuting, either one.
Fortunately, sheep have a little different pelletized fecal matter than horses. And if you can't tell horse feces from sheep feces, you got some real issues. In this business, you got to know your feces.
Is there a business you don't need to know your feces? Okay, I'm not arguing that they're pretending they're sheep. What I'm saying is that she could be feeding these horses, which is illegal, and then if it's your allotment, she could go dark, and they come out, and there's horses on your allotment being fed. They're going to say, Vogler fed these horses.
Well, maybe no, I'm sure not. Well, I got my Mustang and a Crail Violetta. She's coming too. She is too. Yes, sir. So yeah, I'm a lawbreaker too. I should have just let her die, but you know, that's kind of against the human nature of somebody who's a stockman. Letting animals die.
Yeah.
You protect animals. You nurture animals. You make them grow. You make them survive.
Unless you're Christy Gnome.
You don't like her, do you? I just got a feeling. I don't know why.
Hear what she's got? You got the big news over the weekend?
No.
Oh, I can't believe we've
been
branding
calves.
Oh.
No, we're branding calves and trying to get kicked out.
So she's got her memoirs, her book coming out May 7th, and somebody, I think it was The Guardian in the UK, got early access to it. And in her book, she talks about having a bird dog that was mean and killed the neighbor's chickens. And it was a wired-haired hound. And she, 14 months old, she walked it to the gravel pit and shot it because it was dangerous to her and her neighbors. It has completely thrown her out of the mix for vice presidential candidate. There's no doubt about that, because don't forget, Trump's our animal rights activist, and he signed and championed the biggest animal rights bill ever put into federal law. So she's no longer on the short list for vice president. Just sorry about that, Christy. No puppies are harmed in the process of this making up. I promise you that. We're back with the last segment of Rural Route just ahead. Let's spend a minute and talk about less than a minute. Nitric oxide. It's an essential element. Not something you take to make you feel better. It's something you take to make sure your cardiovascular system is working like it's supposed to be. If your cardiovascular system's not working, you're not working. NO2U.com. NO, number two, letter U.com. Use Trent as your coupon code. Welcome back. Roll Route, Hank Vogler alongside. Checking in from White Pine County, Nevada.
You've crushed me. I've had to send a dog or two to doggy heaven myself, and it's very hard to do. But there is a decision line out there that you have to walk. What do they say? Intelligent people are full of self-doubt, and idiots are full of confidence. Well, I've got a lot of self-doubts, but when a dog goes rogue, you know, you have to do something. So I guess there went my vice presidential challenge too.
Yours was not in the running anyway. But ever. It's not that I've euthanized more animals than I ever care to think about. No doubt about it. You don't write about taking the life of a 14-year-old dog in the way that Christine Ohm wrote about it. You would not write this in your book the way she wrote about it. It was her braggadocious, arrogant way of writing about it that, and the true hunters of this country are just, they're livid. They're coming after left and right because they say that that's not the nature. These dogs are aggressive. These dogs are high energy. That's what everybody's saying. And I mean, I got a border collie that I fully understand what's going on here. And the dog wasn't getting enough exercise. It's 14 months. It's 14-month-old pup. It's completely different than what Hank Vogler would do to euthanize his dog. Trust me.
Yeah. Oh, no. You hate to. I mean, it breaks your heart. I've had to lay down a horse or two. Breaks your heart.
I have too.
I've had them go to the glue factory and just tied them up, told the chicken buyer, just pick them up and don't be saying nothing. I won't be there. I won't be able to take it. I'll be gone. They're tied to the hitching post out in front of the tack room. So anyhow, and don't send me a check for a couple of weeks to kind of let me get over it.
But again, even though I maybe didn't emphasize it correctly, the problem in this scenario is Christy Noam was the problem, not the dog. It's pretty clear to see that. And, you know, for a long time, I spent time with Rick Wheat. Rick Wheat was probably the best horseman I've ever encountered in my life. And this guy, a Vietnam veteran, he'd go show up on pavement, set up a round pen inside of a parking lot at some farm store, and people would bring their problem horses. That they're just a problem, Rick. I can't get them to do this. I can't get them to do that. And you know what? Every single time without fail, Rick Wheat proved the horse wasn't the problem. It was the owner that was the problem.
Yes, sir. I always favor the horse. I don't care. Yeah.
Or mule.
We had an old horse, PJ, Patty Jr. He's a big old roan draft horse looking. And he had had so many wannabes on his back that when they'd walk out in the corral, he had them figured out. And one of the dumbest things every one of them would do is get off and open the gate and not take a rein with them, whether it's split rein. Open the gate, and of course old PJ, he just go on through, and they'd close the gate, and then he'd just keep on going. And they just kind of have a little parade all the way through the country, and you'd have to go over and you just ride over there, and PJ would see you coming, and he'd stop. Yeah, he could smell a wannabe at a half a mile.
Yeah. So, best horse we ever had was a $900 horse that I bought, didn't even raise it. And Libby started riding that horse when I think she was 8. Bought it at the Brighton Draft Horse and Mule Sale, come from an Amish family in Missouri. Ugly old thing. flea-bitten gray. And I saw this Amish lady sitting on this horse for an hour and a half with like a two-year-old kid, and that horse never moved. And I said, Libby, what do you think of that horse? Oh, it's not pretty, Dad. Like, yeah, I know. But that lady's been sitting here with that child for an hour and a half, and that horse hasn't moved. That's a good horse. And that horse ultimately became known as Diamond. And Diamond would, Libby could ride that horse until Libby got to be quite skilled at riding. She was breaking horses pretty early in life. She was very good. But that horse would react differently if a girl rode it or if I rode it. It was a completely different horse. It would just, I don't know, it just sensed everybody was different. It wasn't that old plug mare that does the same thing every time, you know? And those are just worth $1 million.
You bet they are. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's had one or two of those. Yeah. We had old Mac. Mac skinned his hind leg up stepping out of the back of a pickup. And the kids took him in the barn. He's pretty lame. And fed him grain, petted him, played with him for 2 or 3 hours. And then a couple days later, they took him outside. He still wasn't quite ready to take off. And he started limping again. Boy, they took him back to the barn. They rubbed him down, fed him some oats, played with him for a couple hours. He got that figured out. That limping was a pretty good gig. So one day, Jimmy Hutchinson was riding him. And I see him leading the horse. And I said, Jim, why? He says, this horse is so lame, you can't hardly walk. He said, I just thought I'd better take him back to the barn. I said, get on him and go. He's bluffed the kids out on that so many times. Yeah, got right back on him. Mac wasn't lame. He just had it figured out. Yeah.
So not always are you training the animal. Sometimes the animal's training you.
That's right. It's you got to meet in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, well, I'm sure glad that whatever the damage was back there. Now, I guess that'll flatten crops. They'll have to replant crops, all kinds of stuff, huh?
No, that won't be an issue. Well, it won't flatten any crops. There's maybe going to be some areas because we're at 5 inches since Friday morning. So there's probably some areas that'll be drowned out. But people just last week were just really getting into planting, so nothing's up. I don't know what the wheat crop is. Central Kansas down from, I mean, there's a very, very dry area in Kansas in wheat country. But in Oklahoma, Texas wheat country, they're talking about fantastic wheat crops. They could be pretty dangerous on that wheat crop, but I don't know that there's any tornadoes in wheat country. You have to go, well, yeah, it could be. Oklahoma City is wheat on both sides, so. It could only affect
what the about wheat. What about the livestock? Does it just kill the livestock, or does it tear fences down and scatter cattle and animals?
No, that's not typically a big problem. I mean, it'd be isolated to the, because the tornadoes are so isolated. They hit areas, and they hit areas hard, yeah. And sometimes that area can be long, but it won't be very wide. I mean, you're going to have people gathering cows up again, yeah, but typically it's because something was blown into a fence and knocked it down.
Yeah. It's not like the fire. They just flat trapped them.
Completely different deal.
Yeah.
Because
well, every area.
In a fire, people go cut fences so cattle can get away. I've never heard anybody go, right. Wait, yeah. In a fire, you got some time to plan. In a tornado, the minute you hear that railroad, that train, you best be somewhere where you're protected.
Yeah.
You hear a train sound. It sounds like a train.
Yeah. Well, you should have been testifying for the Hammond folks, because when I called them up and told them that fire was headed right for them, they went up and opened all their gates and threw everything down. And that was one of the evidence against him. They found Stevie's footprints by a gate that he'd thrown open.
Yeah.
Now, That's how wise those people were. That's how much they had the hate on for those people.
Yeah, that's standard operating procedure. You go cut fences, you just don't allow the animals to be trapped.
Yeah.
We've had three tornadoes at our place since we moved here. Fortunately, none of them hit the house. But I've lost livestock trailers. I've lost Quonset buildings. I've lost some stuff. But we've been pretty fortunate.
Yeah. And I guess there's just, other than getting underground, there's just no place to hide.
You know, when you're at home, you can always protect yourself as long as you... The one in Oklahoma City was like middle of the night or 11:30 at night. Those are the bad ones. The ones that you... Normally, when you get a tornado, that normal tornado time is just before dark because you got that inversion of the hot air of the day, the cool air of the night, and that's what leads to... This is what's been really strange about these tornadoes. Our first tornado warning a week ago was 3:30 in the morning. That's just really rare. And then even last week, it came when it hit Nebraska. That was midday. That was like 11 o'clock. It never had that same heat during the morning, the day, and then the beginning of the cooling. It was completely different from get-go. The day was just dreary and weird to begin with. I don't know what Oklahoma City was because I wasn't there.
Probably has something to do with CO2, I bet. Probably.
It has everything to do with the fact that we burn coal, generating electricity, and we have cows grazing grass. That's the cause of tornadoes.
You better bet you. Fires, you name it. You name it. Evil producers. Those are the bad guys. You got to get a job to where you just sit back and let the clock tick.
That'll do it. Our clock has ticked as long as it's going to talk today. For Hank Bugler, I'm Trent Luce, both of us reminding you that all roads do lead to a roll route. Let's talk about the National Western 2025. We are bringing the history of the heritage alive in Colorado. Colorado continues to be a state that contains more natural resources than most. Look at the water that's available. Where's the water at? Who's getting to use the water? That's the question. And how does the National Western play into that? We want to continue to bring the consumers of Colorado, the consumers of the very agricultural products that we produce, utilizing efficient water to generate the essentials of life. We cannot accomplish this if we don't have the proper discussion between producer and consumer, and that is why I'm focused again on 2025 National Western, all of the events and all of the places where we have consumers and producers talking about the history, the heritage, and the future.